Having fallen under the spell of beautiful American double agent Rebecca Templeglove, Dick Barton sits on a plump leather sofa, his sports jacket removed, his mind in turmoil.
Martini?
No, I should be going.
Why not stay a little longer?
No, I couldn't possibly. I have an urgent appointment.
But you've only just got here. Come on, let me loosen your tie. Hello? It's for you.
Hello? Oh, well, can't it wait? Can't a man have some time off, for goodness sake? I see. I'll be there within the hour.
Judy calls?
Oh, afraid so.
You sure I can't get you that drink?
No, quite sure. Just do that, that thing you do.
That thing?
Yes, that thing. With your throat.
Again? You naughty boy.
Now, please, please, just do it. Oh, my God. My God, a man could go mad.
If you stay a while, I'll drive you crazy.
Sal, this will drive you crazy. You're taking too much on.
That's nonsense. I've done it before. Anyway, if this presentation comes off, I can write my own ticket to work from home.
You'll make yourself ill. Now, what's the point of giving yourself high blood pressure on purpose?
Richard, I want to do this. It's important to me. Stop being so doctory.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it happens to be what I do. And I think I'm qualified to say that it's not a terribly brilliant idea.
You can be a pompous arse at times. You know that, don't you?
I care about my wife, that's all. Is that a crime? This is precisely why we left London, Sally, to get away from the demands and the headaches and the crap.
Oh, I quite enjoyed the crap, as a matter of fact. It was crap to be dealt with. Round here, it's what you step in.
Oh, so it was my decision to come here, was it? You just followed on like the dutiful wife?
I'm not saying that. Well, yes, I am saying that, basically.
Dagger's drawn again, is it? Want me to make myself scarce?
No, don't be silly. Richard was just being a pain in the bum.
Yeah, par for the course. Been a pain in the rear from the day he was born.
Oh, cheers, Dad.
Never known a baby blub so much. Squawking like a stuck pig, day and night.
Oh, here we go.
Overindulged, you see. Given too much rope, and they think the world revolves around them.
I wasn't thinking of myself, actually, Dad. I was showing an understandable concern for Sally's well-being. Just because I'm working all hours doesn't mean she has to follow suit.
Now you are being a pompous ass. Look, I'm doing this thing, and that's that. So let's not row about it, please.
I am not rowing.
Typical. Gone all sulky now. Always the same. I can read him like a book.
I don't think this is helping, Dick.
He doesn't want to help. He's stirring, that's all.
Richard, stop it.
Oh, you know all the right buttons to press, don't you, Dad?
There, you see. Loves to dish it out, but as soon as the boot's on the other foot, his bottom lip goes all wobbly. Spoilt.
I'm fed up with this. I come out with a few home truths, express an honest opinion, and suddenly I'm a pompous pain in the backside who thinks he's the centre of the universe. Well, don't miss me too much, will you? I'm off to be insufferable at work.
Richard!
Yeah, because, frankly, I don't know what on earth you see in me.
Oh, dear.
He's got a point, though.
What's that?
What on earth do you see in him?
Now then, it's young Damien, isn't it?
He don't really see much before midday. It's better like that.
I see. Well, now, if you're going on your holes, young man, you're going to have your jabs. Simple as that.
He didn't respond to reason much either, Doctor. Not when he's tired.
And why is he so tired?
He's only recently got up. Oh. If we had an appointment this afternoon, you'd see someone entirely different sitting there.
Yes, I see.
Yep, happy as Larry, right up to his tea.
Then what?
There's always trouble at tea time. Damien won't eat anything green. Or brown, so it narrows us down a bit.
Right, shall we get on with it then, the inoculations?
What, now? I thought we'd be coming in so you could talk him into it, like.
Mrs. Fraser, if you want to make another appointment, you know, one afternoon, perhaps, they'll be happy to sort you out at reception, OK?
That's for it best. We know chock-a-block you people are. Don't like to waste anyone's time.
No.
Damien!
It's goodbye. Goodbye, Damien. Thank you very much for coming. Oh, help, help, help. Yeah?
Dr. Barton, the new locum's just arrived. Can you spare a minute?
Can't it wait? I've got a caseload as long as a cow's intestine here.
Shall I tell her you're busy?
No. Tell her to pop in. Got nothing better to do, have I? Come in!
Dr. Barton?
Yes?
If you're busy, I can come back later.
No, please.
Oh, I thought I should come by and say hello.
Yeah, great. Yes, you're lovely. I mean, lovely, yes, great. Please, sit down.
It's Rachel Grove.
Richard Barton.
Oh, I know all about you, Richard. I've heard a lot of good things.
Nothing bad, I hope.
I'm sorry? I just said
Sorry, just a turn of phrase, you know. Nothing bad, I hope. So here you are. Yes, are you staying somewhere local, or are you staying, you know, somewhere else?
I'm renting a little place in Beggarsby.
Lovely, yes. And you've heard all about me.
Absolutely. I did a year at St. Beth's. You have a reputation, Dr. Barton. Hmm? Could go far, will go far.
Oh, I don't know.
Has gone far. Too far from London, they say.
I don't know about that.
No, really. When this came up, I thought, I have to meet the man. Grasp the opportunity.
Well,
maybe I should get along.
No, really.
Your caseload?
My what? Yes, that. Yes, of course.
Judy calls.
Yes. Yeah, afraid so.
At Rebecca Templeglove's lavish London apartment, torn between duty and desire.
At Rebecca Templeglove's lavish London apartment, Dick Barton, torn between duty and desire, struggles with his second martini and his conscience.
This is just no good, Rebecca. It's plain insanity.
This is no plain insanity. It's a divine madness.
Oh, I feel strange. Lightheaded. I feel I want to tell you everything.
Be my guest.
Oh, you're like some exotic bird. Beautiful, fantastic.
Flattery, soldier boy, will get you anywhere you want to go.
Oh, and your dress, that dress, it's wonderful. But does it really do you justice? Shouldn't it be a size larger?
And you were doing so well.
I can't seem to focus. My mind's a blur.
It must be the martini. Let me open a window.
Yes.
Is that better?
No. I must see Jock. The assignment.
Assignment? Yes.
Top secret.
Whoa, careful now. Here, let me help you back on the couch.
No, the code. Must give Jock. The code.
Why not give me the code?
I can barely keep my eyes open. What's happening? What's happening to me?
Can't hold your liquor, soldier boy. You should take a nap. But first, the code. I want you to give me the code. The code. The code. The code.
Richard! Phone!
Sorry?
Telephone. Sally, calling from London.
She should be on her way back by now. What's she playing at? Hello?
Richard? Look, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to stop over.
Again?
Well, the meeting ran late and this reception's going on a bit.
Sally, come and meet Michael.
Oh, right there in a second. You still there?
Reception? It sounds more like a knees-up. Well, don't let me keep you. You're obviously far too busy to talk.
Oh, come on, Rich. There's no way I can duck out now. The boss has arrived with the Japanese contingent.
I see. Karaoke later, is it?
Sally!
Okay! Look, I haven't got time for a squabble. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, don't rush back on my account.
Cheerio!
No, hold on. Where are you staying?
They're putting me up at the garden house around the corner.
The garden house? It's a bit posh, isn't it?
Well, they think I'm worth it.
Problems?
No, she's hung up on me. Second time this week.
Hardly surprising, is it?
What do you mean by that?
You should listen to yourself, Muffin. You could sulk for Great Britain sometimes.
But why is it always me? I think Sally's taking on too much, and I'm worried. Why do you always take her side?
There. Quod erat demonstrandum. QED.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Listen.
Don't let me keep you. You're obviously far too busy to talk.
You've been eavesdropping.
I've been proving a point. Here, what about this?
Why is it always me? Why do you always take her side?
Now do you get the idea?
I'm speechless. My own father spying on me. And where did you get that?
Sally got it for me in London.
So that you could creep around taping my telephone conversations?
To help me write my memoirs, you great clod.
I'm going to the pub. Maybe I can have a nice chat there without being overheard. Unless you put a bug in my underpants.
Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go and eat worms.
Hello there.
Big, fat, juicy ones. Oh, hello, Colin. Pull up a pew.
Hey, cheer up. May never happen. My Audrey's old mum used to say that all the time. Cheer up, may never happen. Fell off a ladder and broke her neck, poor woman. Just shows how wrong you can be.
Yeah.
Here, are you a bit down in the dumps, like?
Ah, you could say that. I'm under surveillance.
Oh, under surveillance, eh? Well.
It's a conspiracy, Colin. The walls have ears.
Aye, and the night has a thousand eyes.
What?
Bobby V. Now, whatever happened to Bobby V? Hasn't had a nip for, donkey's years. Most likely dead or something.
Richard.
Oh, hello, Rachel.
Hello. Your father said I might find you in here.
Yeah, well, he's absolutely right. Yeah, my father is absolutely right. All the time.
If this is a bad time.
Yeah, his son, on the other hand, can't do anything right. Any other time, isn't that right, Colin?
No, that's where you're wrong, Dr. Richard. You're just having a bad time, like. Anyway, I'll leave you to it, shall I? Here, Trevor, I want a word with you about the dark.
As I said, if this is a bad time, we could make it some other time.
I'm so sorry, I'm being very rude. You know, trouble at home. Why did I go and say that? It's embarrassing.
Don't worry about it. I'm divorced. I know about trouble at home.
You see, what really bugs me is that we talked it all through. You know, we'd get out of London, find a practice far from the Manning crowd, and we'd start a family, maybe, and none of that's on the cards, you know, not with the old man about the place, but... Oh, listen to me. I'm so sorry.
I have broad shoulders. You can cry on both of them if you
like. No, it seems any opportunity to disappear back out of London, and she's off. And what happens when I happen to mention it? I get hammered.
So now you're in the pub, getting hammered.
No, can I buy you a drink?
No, thanks. I just wanted your opinion on this mumps thing. It looks like we could have an epidemic.
No, how can I help? You know, bearing in mind that any advice I may have should be taken down and studiously ignored. It'll almost certainly be wrong.
It can wait, no problem.
Your mumps? Did someone say mumps? Oh, nasty that. Hey, a friend of mine had it just weeks before he was supposed to get wed. Had to put his, his crown jewels in a kind of hammock arrangement. Oh. Yeah, nasty. Ooh, it was sort of like a sling, you know, which you put through.
Yeah, I think we got the picture, yeah. Colin, right?
So I thought maybe if I call around over the weekend just for a half hour, we could work out a plan for containment.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite feeling myself. Containment, you say?
I'd better get Marge to call Terry.
Terry?
Oi, Terry the cab. He'll be here in a moment.
No, that's okay. I've got the car outside. I'll drive him. It's less fuss that way, huh?
Having been discovered wandering aimlessly through the streets of London...
Having been discovered wandering aimlessly through the streets of London, Dick Barton tries desperately to piece together the lost moments from the previous 24 hours.
I don't know, Jock. I just can't seem to figure it out. I feel like I've gone 15 rounds with King Kong and the gorilla got the decision.
It'll come back to you, Captain. All in good time.
There I was, driving toward Belgravia, and bang, the lights went out.
Belgravia, you see?
Great Scott. I did say Belgravia. But why? And tell me this, old friend. Why was the car found in Camberwell? And what was I doing in Soho, wearing nothing but a Macintosh and a pair of carpet slippers?
Oh, you have me there, sir.
Not to mention the fact that your nose is rather too big for your face.
I beg your pardon, sir.
And that tie you're wearing, it's no match for your shirt. You look like a Belisha beacon.
Now, just a wee minute, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jock. No offence. Don't seem to have any control over what comes out of my mouth. But at least my mouth is in proportion to my lips.
What exactly are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting you grow a moustache. You can hide a multitude of sins with a moustache. Oh, yes. What am I saying?
If you ask me by the way you're carrying on, someone's gone and slipped you a mickey.
I believe you're right, old chum. And it's my guess that it's someone who's after vital information.
Information, sir? You mean the code?
The code, Jock. And if I were a betting man, I'd lay odds that some bright spark's been trying to loosen my tongue.
Look at your tongue. It's got fur on it.
I know. I'm a bit bilious.
You could grow watercress on that.
Thank you.
What were you up to last night?
I wasn't up to anything. I went to the pub for an hour or so.
Ah.
What do you mean, ah? There's no ah about it. I had a couple of drinks in the pub.
Right.
No, will you stop being so bloody cryptic? Ah, right. If you've got something to say, say it.
Oh, Richard, we both know that a couple of drinks is a rather flimsy code for a skinful.
Two or three pints, that's all.
Of rubbing alcohol? Your eyes look like two road maps. What are you doing?
I'm stopping.
What do you mean, stopping?
I picked you up from the station barely 5 minutes ago, and look at us.
We're ready to kill each other.
Don't be so melodramatic. If I wanted to kill you, I'd smother you in your sleep.
Well, I'm glad you've resisted the temptation thus far, thank you.
Don't mention it.
Fine.
Good.
Fine.
Can't we get home and talk about this?
I am not going to sit at the kitchen table having another argument taped for posterity.
Now, what are you on about?
I'm on about Dad and his brand new bloody dictaphone. Why did you get him one of those?
I got two of them. One for me, one for him. I thought it would help with his book. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong is that every time I open my mouth, he's there to record me putting my foot in it. Some balmy scheme he's got to demonstrate how badly I'm behaving.
Dear old Dick.
It's not funny. He edits out the bits where I sound like a rational human being, and all you get is me being a whining git.
That's very funny.
No, it isn't. It's not funny at all.
There he was, striding off to the pub. You've never seen a strop like it, spluttering with indignation.
Want me to get a camcorder as well, Dad? You could send it off to Jeremy Bloody Beadle.
If you see someone being a silly arse, confront them with it, Muffin. They'll thank you for it in the long run.
Well, thank you for showing me what a silly ass I've been, Dad. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
There, you see? Quod erat demonstrandum.
Has everybody finished?
You're both mule stubborn, that's what it is. You should learn to give and take. Flexibility, that's the drill.
Right, well, I'll try and do half an hour's flexibility before I turn in.
Silly ass. If it hadn't been for that young lady bringing you home last night, you'd probably still be out there, the state you were in. Practically had to pour you over the doorstep, she did.
Young lady, who's this then?
Oh, a lovely creature, American. What was her name?
Dad.
What?
So you were having a drink with, what was her name, last night?
Well, Rachel Grove. She's the new locum. It wasn't a drink, exactly. She just wanted to see me about something or other.
And you were a bit worse for wear, so she gave you a lift home?
Pretty much. That's about it, yeah.
Was it something in particular, this something or other?
Yes, yes, it was. It was.
What?
I can't remember.
Oh, I see.
Thanks, Dad.
Sorry, Muffin. Must remember to engage brain before putting mouth into gear.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, I see. Just hang on. I'll get him. It's for you.
Hmm?
Rachel Grove. She thought she'd call to see how you were.
Having ascertained that he had been given the truth drug, sodium pentothal, and may well have divulged the secret code to an unscrupulous enemy, Dick Barton and Jock Anderson combed the streets of Belgravia in the vain hope that something may jog Dick's memory.
Any bells ringing, sir?
Nothing yet, Jock. Whoever slipped me that mickey must have known what they were doing.
Of all the devious, diabolical, dreadful, cowardly...
No time for alliteration now, old friend. There's work to be done. Just one clue, that's all I need. Wait a minute. Do you hear that?
Hear what, Captain?
That song. There's something familiar about that song. Come on, old chum, I think we're onto it. You there! With the monkey on your shoulder, I want a word with you.
Me, Governor? God bless you, Governor.
And I've got 10 shillings here. Says you may be able to help me.
Me, Governor? God bless you, Governor. I'm just a blind organ grinder, Governor. God bless you.
So, you've never seen me before, is that right?
Oh, God bless you, Governor. Me, sir? No, sir. No, God bless you, sir. Never seen nothing, I don't, sir.
Yes, even if I add a pound for that 10 shillings?
Well, God bless you, Governor. I ain't you the geezer that was here earlier on, like, God bless you.
And what was I doing here?
Oh, you was being bundled into a motor car. Big black sedan it was, sir, God bless you. It looked like you had one over the eight, you did. Didn't know what day it was, God bless you.
Yes, yes, yes. And what happened then? Tell me what happened, quick man.
Well, hold your horses, Governor. I'm just a poor blind organ grinder, God bless you, sir.
Don't give me that. Look, here's another 10 shillings.
That's £2, Captain.
Yes, I can count your fat head. Right, come on, let's have it.
Well, sir, God bless you. The Yankee lady pushed you into the car and then she went and got a cab to Victoria. They're catching the night train to Calais, so she was, sir.
The night train? That's the 9:15, sir. And it's past 10 already.
Right, Jock, no time to waste. We've got to stop the train before it reaches Dover.
A couple of bobs of the monkey, Governor, God bless you.
Now, chapter 13. Let's have a deco.
Values are still generally stable, but the overall picture is one of market flux.
What? What's this?
The offer is generally a good one, but peripheral concerns are
standing. What the blazes?
Right, where are we?
Having fallen under the spell of beautiful American double agent Rebecca Templeglove...
What?
...and may well have divulged the secret code to an unscrupulous enemy...
Oh, no. Please.
Why is it always me? Why do you always take her side?
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no! Please don't do this to me.
Ah, it's no good. It's engaged. How come you got Sally's tape, anyway?
Because the machines are identical, you great clot. She must have picked up mine instead of hers. Come on, you'll have to drive. My knee's gone wonky again.
Where are we going?
We're going to head them off at the pass, Muffin. That's where...
This is Rachel Grove.
Where's Richard?
I guess he's still in bed.
He's what? Well, of all the...
Oops.
Realizing that American double agent Rebecca Templeglove is on board the night train armed with a secret code, Dick Barton and Jock Anderson race alongside the speeding locomotive.
There's yes, sir! We're gaining on her!
Now, if we can just beat them to the crossing and get those gates closed, we're home and dry. Come on, Jock, put your foot down.
Come on, Muffin, put your foot down.
Ah, it's these gears. Oh, I can't get used to them.
Stop whinging. Yours wouldn't even start. Foreign rubbish.
Hold on. Is that it there?
Where?
No, no, there, look, in front of us. That has to be it.
Well done, Muffin. Come on, step on it.
What's the next station?
Now, let's have a look.
Come on, Dad.
Here it is, found it. Meridian, off to the right.
Can I have your ticket, sir?
No, my wife's on that train, and I need to give her this. It's important. So can I just...
Have you got your platform ticket, sir?
No, if you just... Could you just let me nip down there and...
If you haven't got a platform ticket...
Okay, look, where do I get a platform ticket?
On the other platform across the bridge.
Oh, for goodness sake, I'll be 2 minutes. Just let me through.
Oh, if only I had a quid for every time I've heard the old my wife's on that train dodge, I'd be rolling in it.
Well, she is on that train, and I need to give her this.
Sir, I may look to you like the implacable face of bureaucracy, but frankly, it's more than my job's worth.
Listen... I won't tell if you won't, okay? Here's a tenner.
Is that a bribe, sir?
Yes.
Carry on.
Having stopped the night train at the crossing, Dick Barton and Jock Anderson make their way through the carriages to confront American double agent Rebecca Templeglove.
Hand over that code, Miss Templeglove. I wouldn't want to see that pretty neck of yours stretched by the hangman's rope.
No dice, Dick Barton. The code stays with me.
You've nowhere to go, Rebecca. I've got this train surrounded.
You must think I was born. What is it you British say? Under a raspberry bush?
It's gooseberry, young lady.
Whatever. Well, I'd love to stay and chat, but you know how it is.
Don't move an inch. This is a service revolver here in my hand, and I know how to use it.
I don't think so, Captain, do you? So long, soldier boy. Don't think it hasn't been fun.
Quick, sir, she's making a run for it.
No, it's no good, Jock. I could no more shoot a woman than cheat at golf. Come on, let's get after her.
That won't be necessary, Barton. Let her go. Colonel Gardner, where did you spring from? I've been keeping an eye on things, as always. No need to worry. That code's worthless.
Worthless? What the blazes do you mean?
Well, we knew what Miss Templeglove was up to, so we took the precaution of giving you a dummy code.
A dummy code?
That's right, Jock. I'd imagine her paymasters will be none too pleased when they discover that what she has in her possession is no more than a recipe for treacle toffee. Treacle toffee. Treacle toffee.
Tea, coffee,
light
refreshment. Oh, there
you are.
What do you want?
Oh, well, that's nice. I came to give you...
Shouldn't you be tucked up with Dr. Grove?
Eh?
I spoke to Rachel on the phone. You were still in bed, no doubt, having a post-coital kip.
What are you talking about? I've been terrorising across two counties so I can give you this.
My tape?
Yeah, your tape. Oh, don't bother to thank me. It was no trouble. And what's this about Rachel Grove?
Well, she answered the phone, I thought that...
Answered the phone? Where?
At home.
What on earth was she doing there? Oh, God, of course, I remember now. She was coming around about the mumps epidemic.
Well, how did she get in?
I know, I must have left the door open. We were in such a rush and the car wouldn't start.
She picked up the phone, bold as brass. Well, you can imagine what was going through my mind.
Well, that Rachel and I had been upstairs playing doctors and nurses, is that it?
Sorry.
I didn't quite catch that. What was that again?
Sorry. And thanks, Rich. Give us a kiss.
Oh, no, I better go.
No, come to London.
Well, I can't.
Why not? I'll give the presentation. It'll be brilliant. We'll slope off early, nip back to the garden house and get seriously rude. How about it?
I've left Dad in the car and he's got a stiff knee. I can't leave him stranded. Can I?
You can't jump off a moving train. You should know that. You're a doctor.
Yeah, you're right. I'll get off next stop.
That's Victoria, 11:27.
I know.
Okay, I think that's about it.
It's been great having you with us, really.
I hope I didn't cause too much trouble last week. Walking into your home like that, picking up the telephone.
Oh.
God, what a nerve.
No, please, don't worry about it, Rachel. I'd have done exactly the same thing. As a matter of fact, I'm rather glad you did.
Well, that's nice. Oh, here, my notes on that outbreak of mumps. I think we may have it licked. Just the one case outstanding.
Hey, my auntie said I should come and see you as soon as my temperature went up.
Yes.
I said, don't talk, daft woman. I'm right as a trivet. She said, well, you look like you got two pair of socks stuffed down your throat. I said, I can't afford to lie here.
All right, Colin. Now, I just need to check these glands. Okay. Yes, dear, it is. It's tender, isn't it? Now, do you mind if I have a look a bit lower?
Aye.
Oh, crikey, you've got a pair of maracas down there, Colin. Well, you'll have to put those in a kind of hammock arrangement.
But I've got pigs in Farrow, and Audrey's visiting her cousin in Maidstone. Jason's on holiday, but he's got
boils. Rest,
my large
Colin, and above all, complete quiet.
Every 5 hours.
Any unnecessary chat and you'll aggravate those glands. Do you understand? Do you understand, Colin?
Yes.
Good. Now, I'll give you a prescription for these. Take them three times a day, and I'm going to get Jason to call in every morning. So any extraneous natter, and I'll know about it. Be warned.
Well, that must be my Audrey in Maidstone. I needs to have a word, like. She'll be worrying herself beside herself about the importance.
No. Do as you're told and shut up. Doctor's orders. Now, hand me that phone. It's not good to talk. Hello? Hello, Audrey. It's Dr. Barton. Yes, he's fine. Oh, no, I'm fine. Yeah, they're fine, yes. Yes, everyone's fine. Audrey, could I get Jason to, Yes, they are, yes. They're huge, yeah. Yes, certainly is a good job there, not full of helium. Yes, he'd be floating towards Calais by now. Now, listen, Audrey, I must ask you...
Richard Barton, General Practitioner, was written by Lowell Mason. Richard was played by Robert Bathurst, with Murray Watson as Dick, and Julian Dutton as Young Dick and Colin Meadows. Matilda Ziegler was Sally, and Ian Cuthbertson was Jock. Other parts were played by Fiona Allen and Roger Blake. The producer was Joe Clegg.